This is Larry Jones. You are listening to the Grace and Glory Hour with Pastor David M. Atkinson. Thank you for joining us today. We appreciate your interest and request that you pray for this ministry. Our email address is graceglory7@juno.com. graceglory7@juno.com. Now here is Pastor Atkinson.
Would you please take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 2, Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when Herod had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Our text this morning is Matthew chapter 2, verse 2a. Verse 2a. "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" Where is he that's born king of the Jews? When the wise men arrived in Jerusalem, they asked a very simple question. Their question was, "Born where? Born where?" And that is the title of the message this morning. Born where? Where was Jesus born? How different it all would have been if I had planned it. I might have chosen Rome as the city for the birth of the Savior King. I might have chosen Rome. Rome, dating back, according to tradition, to 753 B.C. I might have chosen Rome with its population of somewhere between 800,000 to 1,200,000. I might have chosen Rome where rentals were expensive, even in the poorest sections of Rome. I might have chosen Rome with its tile floors, its marble, and its luxurious mosaics. I might have chosen Rome with structures so large they were called insulae or islands. Structures so big they were called insulae or islands. Or I might have chosen Athens for the birthplace of the Savior. Athens, with its Parthenon and marble columns and mortar-less construction. Yes, I might have chosen Athens with its 38-foot-high statue of Athena, made of ivory and gold. I might have chosen Athens as a center of urbane intellectualism, so that intellectuals could get saved and convince the world by academics. Oh yes, if I'd been choosing, I might have chosen Athens, the center of intellectualism, so that intellectuals could hear the message and trust Christ. Or I might have chosen Ephesus for its marble and wealth, hoping that having the birth there would strike a lethal blow at the paganism of the Diana worship. Yes, that's how I might have done it. I might have chosen Ephesus for the birth of the Savior of the world. Or, at the very least, I would have chosen Jerusalem, the political and religious center of the race, through whom the Savior would come. At the very least, I would have chosen Jerusalem. But I am not God, and I know you're glad. But I'm not God, and Jesus was not born in any of those celebrated famous cities. And so if Jesus was not born in the pomp and ribbon-thin splendor of Rome, and if he wasn't born surrounded by the pseudo-intellectualism of Athens, and if he wasn't born surrounded by the wealth, prosperity, and luxury of Corinth, or even the territorial capital of Jerusalem, where was he born? Well, let us read more detail about where Jesus was born in Dr. Luke's inspired account of his birth, Luke 2, Luke 2, verse 4. Luke 2, 4, Dr. Luke gives us more detail about where he was born. Luke 2, 4, and Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Now, Dr. Luke is about to give us more details about where and how the Savior was born. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished, filled up, completed, that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Was the Savior really born here? Was he really born here? Was the King of Kings really born in something, if not a stable per se, at least close to the stable? Because after his birth, he was put in a feed trough. Was he really born there? Indeed, he was. He was born in Bethlehem, little, or insignificant if measured by size or population. Micah 5:2. He was born in a place of no reputation. The Apostle Paul tells us that Jesus willingly made himself of no reputation and was made in the likeness of men. He took upon him the form of a servant. Philippians 2. Yes, he was really born there. Would Jesus be born uptown in a celebrated city? No. He'd be born in what is essentially and was essentially a frontier town, an outpost for shepherds and sheep. He'd be born here in little Bethlehem, and more specifically, just where would he be born in little unsung Bethlehem? He would be born in a outshed, out behind one of the big houses in town. And there weren't that many big houses in little Bethlehem. But he wasn't even born in one of the big houses of little Bethlehem. He was born in an outshed behind one of the bigger houses that was big enough at least to serve as an inn. Servants and slaves are never born in the big houses at the front of the property, surrounded by manicured lawns. Servants and slaves are always born in the little outsheds behind the big houses out front. Would Jesus be born here in a dirty, unsanitary outshed behind one of the larger houses in a very small village. Yes, he'd be born here. Come with me. Walk with me as I follow the eyes of my imagination to where he was born. There was only one slightly sweet smell in the entire place. It seemed to come from the small pile of fodder stacked over in the corner away from the door. The rest of the environment reeked with the pungent stench of dung. It reeked with the pungent stench of urine and the sweat of animals. The only odor that broke the monotony of the acrid mix was the stink released into the cramped quarters when an ox or donkey let out the occasional belch. The shepherd, Amos, poked his wandering head through the open doorway. The door had long since fallen off its hinges and lay discarded on the ground outside. "Born here?" asked 12-year-old Josiah, who followed close on the heels of his father Amos. "Hush, boy," admonished Amos in a voice that reflected both embarrassment and amazement. If Amos had been totally candid, he would have admitted that the boy had spoken his own sentiments quite eloquently. But this was neither the time nor the place to acknowledge the perspicacity of a 12-year-old boy who was saying, "Born here?" That would have to be addressed later. This was the time for silence. Amos thought of what Solomon had said, "There is a time to keep silence." And Amos certainly thought that this was a time to keep silence, more than any other such time he had ever experienced. Samuel and Hanani appeared in the doorway. They came a little bit later from their part of the flock. And Samuel and Hanani also hesitated and uncovered their heads as they went through the open doorway into the outshed. Amos acknowledged the arrival of his brother shepherds by raising an index finger to his pursed lips. "Shh." And Joseph smiled at the shepherds, a kinder smile than Amos imagined he would muster if it were his son in that feed trough. The trough had been lined with some fodder. The trough's splintery edges held tufts of wool and animal hair, souvenirs of many visits by the animals to its treasures. The fire that had heated the water for the birth was burning low, almost out now. The signs of the birthing were evident. The remnant of the cord discarded in the straw off to one side. The mother looked pale and wan. There was a gray pallor over her young face. Amos remembered his first wife and wondered how this one could possibly live. "Born here?" asked Amos before he could catch himself. Josiah just looked up at his father. Their eyes met, and Josiah grinned as much to say, "Dad, why is it all right for you to say it, but I can't?" But he didn't have to say anything. His dad, Amos, got the point and reached down and tousled the boy's hair. And Josiah grinned again. "Dad," was now asking, what he asked. Yes, answered Joseph, interrupting the repartee between shepherd father and son. Yes, born here. The inn was full, and this was all they had. At least we're out of the night air. At that very moment, Mary shivered. And Nani took off his shepherd sheepskin tunic and handed it to Joseph, who wrapped Mary as tenderly as he had just a short time before wrapped the baby. How did you know we were here? Quizzed Joseph as he helped Mary turn on her own pallet of hay. You won't believe me, replied Amos, lowering his voice to a whisper so the new mother could be given a proper chance for... You just won't believe me. Why don't you try me? Said Joseph, sensing that Amos was about to explode with excitement. Well, sir, we were out in the field with our flocks when the brightest light I have ever seen suddenly appeared in the sky over our heads. Then an angel, I suppose Gabriel, an angel appeared in the light and told us that Messiah had been born here in Bethlehem and that we could find him in a manger. All I could think was, born here? I knew what the prophet wrote, but I never guessed it would be a stable in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is one thing, but a stable in Bethlehem? Messiah's born here. You do believe me, don't you, Joseph? Joseph frowned in mock disbelief and then broke into a grin so broad his teeth seemed to glow in the light of the dying embers. Believe you, my dear man? Why should I not believe you? The angel also came to me. The angel also came to me just a few months ago. He told me Mary was with child of the Holy Spirit and that I should not be afraid to take her to wife. He told me that Mary's boy would save us from our sins. I believed the angel and did as he said, but I too never expected the boy would be born here. Fodder, dung, puddles of urine, the fetid stench of the ox's breath, Roman soldiers carousing with strange women out in the courtyard, travelers raising their voices in drunkenness inside the inn. I never thought that the Savior of the world would be born here. I wanted to do so much better for him. Chad Walsh said, through the black space of death to baby life came God, planting the secret genes of God. Lucy Shaw wrote, small folded in a warm, dim female space, the word stern silenced to be 9 months dumb. Infinity walled in a womb until the next enormity, the mighty after submission to a woman's pains, helpless on a barn bare floor, first tasting bitter earth. And Clement Pannon wrote, today, a shed that's thatched, yet straws can sing, holds God. G.K. Chesterton wrote, the child it was, ere worlds begun, we need but walk a little way. We need but see a door undone. The child that played with moon and sun is playing with a little hay. Now, we're amazed that he was born there and placed in a feed trough. But we ought to be more amazed that he is born inside every person who's saved. We stink as much as the ox dung. Spiritually, we smell as much as the sheep urine. We do. You say, I'm offended. If you're offended, then you'd understand that the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. If you're offended when I say that when he's born in us who trust only in the merits of his shed, but if you're offended, then you're proud. And proud people don't go to heaven. Proud people don't receive eternal life. We have to realize that when we say or ask, born here, it is, if possible, a greater wonder than to say born in a stinky stable. Isaiah the prophet said in Isaiah 64, 6, we are all as an unclean thing. Our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. The Bible teaches that before we are born again, we are all as spiritually, morally, and ethically unsanitary as that stable in Bethlehem was physically unsanitary. Listen to what Robert Murray McChain said about his own pre-conversion days. Robert Murray McChain, the Scottish Presbyterian preacher, said on May 6, 1832, restrained from open vice by educational views and the fear of man, how much ungodliness has reigned on the inside. We all look so kosher this morning. We all look so clean and so religious. But McChain was honest about the vice inside. Restrained from open vice on the outside by educational views, how much ungodliness has reigned inside me? How often has it broken through all restraints and come out in the shape of lusts and anger, mad ambitions, and unhallowed words? Though my vice was always refined, yet how subtle and how awfully prevalent my vice was. How about me this morning? How about you? Is your vice refined? Do you only use those words when there are no children around? Do you only use those words when your wife is not around? Do you only watch that video when there are no children around? Do you only go to that website when your wife is not around? How cultured and refined is our own vice this morning? Would Jesus, the Savior of the world, be born here? Would he be born here? Yes, he would. If I would experience what the Bible calls repentance. And that's understanding that sin grieves a holy God, and God cannot indefinitely put up with sin. That's why there's a hell. you're in a church this morning that believes there's a literal hell. And the reason there is a literal hell is because God has his lie. And there comes a point where he won't put up with sin anymore. He's a holy God. I'm not urging you just to make a mental ascent. I'm asking you, have you ever sensed conviction for sin? Have you ever realized in your soul how our sins grieve a holy God? And have you ever cast yourself upon the mercy of the Jesus who came to earth to shed the sinless blood of God to pay the purchase price for the forgiveness of my sin and your sin? Have you ever come to that place spiritually? Has Jesus ever been born here in your life, in the core of your being? Charles Wesley said, come, come. Oh, I like Wesley's hymns. Come, be born in us. Fix in us thy humble home. Come. Jesus, would you be willing to come to this? Now, talk to yourself. I need to do it. I'm a sinner. Sometimes not very pretty. Jesus, would you come here? Would you be born here? Yes, he would. If I would trust the merits of his shed blood. Where is he that's born? Have you trusted the Savior?
We trust you have been encouraged or strengthened by the word today. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at graceglory7@juno.com. That's graceglory7@juno.com. We will reply to all those who contact us. And now, until next time, may the good Lord bless and keep you.